Don't miss a second of the action. Subscribe now to the OTB AM podcast to get it every weekday morning in your podcast feed from 10 a.m. The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Hello there, you're very welcome along. Joe Malloy with you this Wednesday evening. Another busy football evening in store in the Premier League. Both Manchester clubs in action. Damien Delaney along on the football show, where it seems the end is nigh for Frank Lampard, is the general reporting today. Paul O'Donovan, Olympian extraordinaire, between 8 and 9 o'clock. Before Paul, we have Wednesday night rugby with Keith Wood. Munster-Leinster on Saturday. Both sides fully loaded. This is effectively a Six Nations trial match as well. Loads at stake and loads to talk about with Keith. And then there's a good old pile-on over in Melbourne, where the tennis glitterati want out of their quarantine prison, and they want out now. Christopher Clary from the New York Times is going to join us at 7:30 because, frankly, nobody cares about the tennis glitterati, it would seem. 53106 is the text number. Do get in touch, whatever's on your mind. Add off the ball is where you'll get us. Joe Biden calling for things like calm and unity and an end to chaos and hatred. Richie McCormack. World ain't perfect, but it's got slightly better today, I think we can say.
Feels like it, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, it's strange to think that not 24 hours ago, or not even, hours ago at this stage, it was, 5 o'clock when it officially became rubber stamped, that there was a neo-Nazi in charge of the White House. That's not the case anymore. And I think for that alone, we should be thankful.
Yeah, there was something nice about the reality of him leaving. I must say, I made a point of watching. I was like, I want to watch this. I've spent enough time watching just in horror and dismay at your nonsense for the last 5 years. And it was actually nice to watch the reality of him leaving. Nathan Murphy, Wednesday evening, always big in the Murphy household, of course. It is research for Golf Weekly Night. How's it going?
It is going okay, Joe. Yeah, I was for once actually doing some research. I was watching back some of the press conferences today from Abu Dhabi, where the great and good are on European tour duty for once this week. It's in Torrey Pines in America, but there ain't no pro-am, so a lot of the best players aren't playing. So yeah, we got Rory McIlroy, first appearance of the season. Justin Thomas over there after his issues last week with his homophobic slur and having to answer a lot of questions about that, and everybody having to answer a lot of questions about that, and a lot of people giving Justin Thomas a lot of backing that he had a pretty impeccable reputation heading into that tournament. He's made a big mistake, but that he does deserve a second chance, and I think he'll get that second chance. And you would expect, with everything we've seen from Justin Thomas before, he won't make a similar comment or mistake again. So I have done some Golf Weekly research in between, like yourself, watching Joe Biden and watching Trump's departure, and watching it with a sense of unease at all times of, we sort of have seen in recent weeks and months that the worst thing can possibly happen, and quite nervous as to what could have happened, but it all looks as though it's gone quite smoothly.
Yes, it does.
No references to Mayo or Ireland from Joe Biden, so good. You know.
They're coming, don't worry. So last night, of course, farewell to Frank night, it seems, looking at the reports in various places. 2-0 defeat at the King Power Stadium. This is a sixth defeat of the season, a fifth loss in eight games. The Athletic, for instance, reporting a sense of finality for Lampard at the club. So seems like it's over. He does look... I don't mind. See, some people seem quite... against Lampard, they find something about him rubs them up the wrong way. I kind of loved him as a player and quite wanted him to see him do reasonably well as a manager, I have to say. But it does look, Nathan, as if he's starting to run out of ideas a bit quickly now.
I don't even think it's just against Frank Lampard. I think he's seen as being part of this clique that is the inner sanctum of English football.
Sure.
That will all protect each other at all times. And I would agree, I loved watching Frank Lampard as a player. He's somewhat inoffensive as a manager. It's hard to pick anything apart from Frank Lampard that's particularly dislikable. But it did feel last night on the pitch that there was a finality to it. There was no rousing end to the game with Chelsea trying to get back into it. And it looked like a team that had been around the block, that was tired. in comparison to a Leicester team full of energy. And that shouldn't be the case when you look at the amount of new players that came into Chelsea during the summer and their age profile as well. This is a team that should be just about starting to click into gear, that should be knowing each other's best positions. Havertz and Werner should be linking up and starting to forge a partnership that you would feel would lead Germany over the coming years as well. They have the options of Ziyech and Hudson-Odoi, a really strong midfield when Kante is fit. And none of that has been there. They all look like complete strangers when they're on the pitch. And I think there's an expectation from supporters of the big clubs that the managers that they come in will be quite transformative now, whether it's what Guardiola has done at Manchester City, whether it's what Klopp has done at Liverpool, and Chelsea supporters see themselves at a similar level. Whereas you watch Chelsea and it's quite dull. There's nothing really innovative about anything they do. They play quite often a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3, the same as everyone else. They don't press particularly high. They don't defend well. They don't defend well at all. They look all at sea. So like, what has he brought that a more experienced manager, a lesser name, wouldn't be able to bring, or even any of his predecessors?
Well, it seems, looking again, I was reading a good piece in The Athletic, at the club now, they're of a mind to get a German-speaking manager because they figure, well, we bought Timo Werner, we bought Kai Havertz, let's just get a German in. So that's the level of analysis.
Tuchel is free.
Yeah, yeah, Nagelsmann was in there. Bundesliga experience seems to be what they're...
I would be shocked if it's not Thomas Tuchel. I think there have been feelers put out there ever since his departure from PSG, both from his side and from Chelsea's, that if it does go skew with Lampard, that he will be the man to take over. And I wouldn't be entirely surprised if he's appointed probably by the end of next weekend.
Okay.
But yeah, like Nathan said, there's no personality about a Frank Lampard team, which is almost shocking in a way, because he hasn't been able to transfer essentially what he was as a player in terms of that kind of gung-ho attitude, breaking from midfield and all that good stuff. Yeah. He hasn't been able to bring any of that personality to the Chelsea team. And given the outlay that he's had over the course of the last summer, given the talent that already existed within that squad, they ain't going to tolerate what they've been putting up with for the last 8 games for much longer, and I think his days are numbered.
Yeah, Damien Delaney's in the Football Show at 9. It will be interesting if he does get the bullet to see where Lampard pitches up next. So the news round on Off the Ball on News Talk is with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette made of what matters. Richie, live football.
The transition of power could happen twice in the Premier League tonight, Joe. There was a 6 p.m. start. That's why they pay me the big bucks.
In fairness.
6 p.m. start at the Etihad, where it's still Manchester City nil, Aston Villa nil, bucketing down at the Etihad. A City win would see them replace Leicester at the summit. Regardless of City's result, Manchester United will end the night top if they win away to a resurgent Fulham. There is an 8:15 start at Craven Cottage. The team news for that one will be in 5 minutes' time. Sticking with the Premier League, they will trial the use of concussion substitutes. Each team will be allowed up to 2 extra subs per game if concussion is suspected in a player. The trial could begin as early as next week. That's if it's greenlit by football's lawmakers, IFAB.
Okay. A big day for the Women's National League.
Yeah, indeed. The FAI announced today that SSE Airtricity will sponsor the Women's National League, as well as renewing its deal with the Men's Premier and First Divisions. It's the first time that the WNL has shared a sponsor with the League of Ireland in a deal that sees the energy company remain as title sponsor until the end of the 2022 season. The new SSE Airtricity Premier Division campaign will get off and get underway on the 19th of March. The Women's National League begins on the 26th of March. P-Man star Anya O'Gorman says the sponsorship platform can only help the WNL.
Last year, the media coverage of the league was the most consistent I've seen in a while, and I think that's probably one step in the right direction. Better coverage and better exposure that we talked about now, hopefully with SSE Airtricity, we'll have that platform to develop. And they have spoken about working with the clubs and creating more content as well. So that's a big one for me. And then obviously the play to play, and that comes maybe from a little bit more financial backing, and then clubs being able to stand alone, and then just the overall plan of having it, because we're all completely amateurs, like I said. So having it, if we can strive for that semi-professional status, and then we have a really good elite environment in the country. And I know some clubs are like aligned with the men's clubs as well. So I think they're all positive steps.
Yeah, they sure are. It's great. It's great news, and it's moving in the right direction. Hopefully the momentum picks up as well. Somebody says, a Mayo man in the White House. Cheer up, Nathan. Are you looking especially miserable over there?
Am I? I apologise if I am. I'm not miserable in any way.
It's a YouTube comment, so they're paying close attention to you. Speaking of democracy in action, I just voted on your Instagram poll of which off-the-ball presenter is the most presidential. Sorry, Richie, you didn't make the cut, says Alan? Well, you, I mean, you're not
no shock.
You're anti-establishment. No.
Yeah. I am that firebrand that wouldn't be let near the inauguration ceremony. Yeah.
Are you queuing on?
not quite, no.
I saw this. I voted for myself, Nathan. I saw it. I made a point, and I thought, well, presidents vote for themselves, so I'm voting for myself here.
Go on. What did you win by? You wouldn't be bringing it up, Joe, unless you emerge victorious.
Oh, no, I don't know who won. I genuinely don't
know.
Okay. Yeah. Right. I don't know. Is there a result in? The lads will fire in that side if there is. No, I don't know.
I don't want to go all Trump, but clearly there has been some voter irregularity already.
Yeah. Adrian Barry has voted early and often.
Yeah, no great surprise there.
Conor Herron, then, he's secured that move to Swansea.
He has indeed, and the Republic of Ireland midfielder had drastically fallen down the pecking order this season. Phillip Park, he'd only started 3 Premier League games, has been an unused sub in their last 6, and he joins the Swansea side, currently second in the Championship table. Good news for Stephen Kenny, because he'll be playing regular football, it seems, between now and the start of the World Cup qualifiers in March. This news broke last night. Tiger Woods has had back surgery for a 5th time. The 15-time major winner is expected to make a full recovery after an operation to remove a pressurized disc fragment. The procedure, which was pinching his nerve, will mean he misses at least the next 2 planned tournaments, those being the Farmers Insurance Open and the Genesis Invitational.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you see that Tiger Woods logo pop up and statement, Nathan, you now expect something like this. And then when I saw, oh my God, it actually is back surgery. Oh my God, and you keep breathing. Oh, what? No!
I know. I saw a very long medical term, and I quickly Googled it to see just how serious this was. And it was, well, listen, I think it's a full general anaesthetic you go under for the surgery, right, but somewhere around 5 weeks. It's concerning because it's Tiger Woods' 5th time having back surgery. But Rory McIlroy today was asked about it, and I said that Tiger had the surgery on December 23rd and was back up and about and able to stand by Christmas Day.
Okay.
So that he should be okay for the Masters. But again, now you're going to spend whatever build up, whatever tournaments he gets in, watching every time he bends down to pick up the tee. Mm. Is he okay? How slow is he moving? And yeah, every setback at his age, what is he, 45 at this stage?
Yeah.
Every setback feels like a big one.
It does. I mean, his back now just seems to be so fragile that surgery seems to be there as a matter of course, as opposed to, in most people's world, really something they try and avoid, and it's not good and it's very serious and results can vary massively. With Woods, it's like, oh, another surgery.
Mm. And as you say, very serious back surgery that we sort of just take for granted because of him being somewhat superhuman at times. But he must worry, and you got to worry what he's going to be like when he's 60, 65.
Mm. The lads have stuck in the Instagram, who's most presidential vote?
You can't trust the people, Joe.
You certainly can't. 75% went for Joe Malloy. That's resounding.
Ah, here.
Resounding.
Ah, here. Six. No, so like what? 4 people voted.
That is resounding.
You go for the
That's incredible.
Presidential look when you're doing the Six Nations coverage on Virgin. You got the red tie or the blue ties. Yeah, we see what you're doing. Like, we could all dress up like that if we wanted, presenting off the ball, Joe, but, you know, a little bit more relaxed.
Nathan Murphy got exactly 1 vote, interestingly.
Wow. How many people voted?
Thousands.
This is seeming like there's 4 votes and 3 of them for Joe and 1 of them for Nathan.
Yeah. I don't know how many people voted. The fact that you got 1 suggests it wasn't a massive turnout.
I haven't had a chance to vote for myself yet. It could change.
Yeah, 75% went to me. 1 vote could probably have that percentage by the looks of things. So Jurgen Klopp, then, he's been talking. We have the Liverpool game tomorrow, I should say, live. Nathan's on commentary. Who's with you?
Brian Kerr.
Oh, well, listen, dream team.
It could be even more interesting if this City game stays the way it is. It's been a cracking game. Yeah. Aston Villa, what a transformation since the end of last season, where they looked absolutely doomed and rightly doomed because they didn't look like they had anywhere near the quality. But they have brought this game to City again and again.
Yeah, hard working, high intensity, and having a bit of a go when they can as well. So 57 minutes on the clock, it's still nil all, Man City, Aston Villa. So dream team on tomorrow for Liverpool, Burnley. What's Jurgen Klopp saying, Rich?
Yeah, he says he's not alarmed by their current form. Sunday's goalless draw with Manchester United means the champions are without a win in the last 4 Premier League games. They've also failed to find the net in their last 3 league outings, but Klopp has taken encouragement from Sunday's performance and believes that results will turn their way.
There's no perfect season with 100 something, 14 points or so. There's just dealing with circumstances, dealing with the situation and dealing with the amount of games and these kind of things. And we have to be as perfect as possible. And that's what we all try. And I think pretty much all the teams had meanwhile now kind of a dip here and there. And some sorted already, some are on the way to sort it. That's the situation. It's not, I understand 100% the need to talk all the time about it, but we cannot change it just in a minute, and not only because we realize now here and there lacks a little bit this or that, then we change it the next day, and then we should change it with other players, bring in other players, change the lineup and all these kind of things. You can imagine, the day has 24 hours, we think about a lot of stuff, and most of the things the public thinks about, we think about as well, but not all of them. And for sure, somebody has to be calm in this kind of situation. That's not a catastrophe or whatever, our situation. It's not perfect, but that's not important, because it's just to really be as good as you can be. And I saw a lot of good signs in the Man United game. And if we would have won that game, everybody would have seen them. Because we didn't win them, nobody was interested in it. That cannot change my view.
Okay, pretty interesting stuff. Next story, Kieran Clark trapped for 2 more years, Richie.
God bless him. Free Kieran Clark, get it trending tonight. He's been rewarded with a new 2-year deal at Newcastle. Since his return from an ankle injury in November, the defender has played every league minute for Steve Bruce's side. Clark's last contract was due to expire in the summer, but he'll now remain at St. James's Park for his sins until the summer of 2023.
So interesting story here with this Shamrock Rovers player.
Yeah, Shamrock Rovers captain Ronan Finn thinks that Kevin Zeffie has the ability to become a future Republic of Ireland international. The teenager is on the verge of sealing a move to Serie A giants Inter. Still only 15, Zeffie played 11 times and scored once in the first division last season for Shamrock Rovers too. And Finn believes the teenager has all the tools to succeed at the top level.
He's being involved with us. He's come into the first team. He's, you know, he's dipped his toe in, and he knows he wasn't afraid to, you know, us as a group of players, we had to kind of treat him as a man. You know, we couldn't be like dancing around him and not, because this is the environment he's going to be in. And if he wants to be a professional footballer, like, he had to learn. So Kevin came into the group, but you know, he done really well, and then he obviously then played a lot for the first division team this year, and done really well. But I suppose you just don't know, do you? It's very hard to say how far he'll go, because, listen, bearing in mind, hopefully he stays injury free, and you know, you want him to keep progressing. But football is a very, very difficult industry, and going to a powerhouse like Inter Milan, you know, the competition there will be high. But if Kevin backs himself and looks after himself and believes in himself whilst also doing you know, the right things, he needs to keep his feet on the ground and do the right things, and who knows, you know, hopefully we'll have a future international.
Yeah, nice, really interesting story. So born in Ireland, Nathan, to Albanian parents, and he's been involved with the Irish under 15 side, and as Richie says, he'll join Inter now when he turns 16 next month. So that's kind of a cool rise.
Yeah, I think he has family connections in that part of the world as well, which should make maybe the move a little bit easier, and his family are going with him. I only saw him once, one afternoon for Shamrock Rovers, and like 15 years of age playing men's football. It didn't look out of place at all, but I think it was summed up perfectly there. The gap even from 15 to 19 and that development that you need to make at a club like Inter Milan is massive. It's brilliant to see young Irish players going out of Ireland and not going the direct route. And there's loads of opportunity as well, even though the likes of Inter Juventus may not bring through a lot of young players. They do send an awful lot of them out in these sort of 2-year loan deals to other Serie A clubs where they will give them opportunities to go and play. So it's just another player to go and track. Ryan Nolan was there in Italy and has been talked up for a long time, ended up leaving. He's actually on the bench tonight for Getafe in La Liga. He's still very young. So there are other... It's an exciting move, but we've got to remember he's 15.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I've just seen that Man United team flash up and I like it. Ooh, I like it. Can I see that again? Yes. So it's going to be Wan-Bissaka, Eric Bailly in alongside Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw is at left back. They obviously don't need Fred and McTominay tonight against Fulham, they feel. So it's Paul Pogba and Fred, and then it's a three in front of them of Martial, Bruno Fernandes, Mason Greenwood, Edinson Cavani up front. That's tasty, I would say, Nathan.
That's pretty much as attacking as they can go. No Marcus Rashford in that United team.
What did you think of him on Sunday?
I thought he was really poor.
Yeah.
I thought he was poor in the previous league match as well, where they sort of ended up playing him on the right. Yeah, he just looks a little bit lost into what his positioning would be. You know, he's playing through the centre at the start of the game. there was time. Look at his pace. How is he finding himself offside so often against Jordan Henderson and Fabinho in that position? And look short in confidence. But that's, I touched on that with Andy Mitten on Monday. That is, in one way, the exciting part for Manchester United fans. If they've got to this position without any of their attacking players, with the exception of Bruno Fernandes, really playing that well, are scoring a lot of goals. So if one of them or two of them can come into a bit of form, well, then United can go very, very close. But yeah, Rashford, I'm not going to go down the route of what he's doing off the pitch because it's exceptional. But on the pitch, he hasn't got to where he was last season and really hasn't kicked on to that next level.
Where's his best position?
Being a world-class player.
Where's his best position? Because you see him being utilised in that three behind the main striker more often than not, be it on the left or be it on the right. I always, when he broke through, first viewed him as an actual out-and-out striker. And I think he's, I don't want to say he's fallen off because of he's been playing a little bit deeper, but I'm not sure if that deeper role entirely suits him. I don't know what you make of that.
I think he'd tell you he'd prefer to play through the middle as a striker, but I'm just not sure at the moment he's enough of a goal scorer to do that. And I think so he gets shunted out to the left where he can do damage, but there's not a total reliance on him to score goals, Nathan. That's my read on it.
Yeah, I think 10 years ago he probably would have played through the middle, but now most teams are playing their quick, talented attacking players in those positions on the wings where there's a bit more space. Because as Manchester United get better against Fulham tonight, Fulham are going to sit back. Is Marcus Rashford that poacher who's going to get you the goal with the movement of Edison Cavani? Not really. You need him picking it up deep and running out of defence and scaring the living daylights out of them. So, yeah, it's a shame because he did feel when he burst onto the scene, again, he could be truly world class. Whereas at the moment, he's just a very good Premier League player.
Yeah. I mean, you would, and with the tools to be far more than just very good, you would tell him tonight, just watch Edison Cavani. Sit in the stand if you're allowed and just have a notebook out and watch Cavani. That would do you no harm. Last story before we take a break. We're talking about this on the far side of the break. Yeah. Richie, in short, everybody hates Novak Djokovic, rather.
Yeah, with good cause. Novak Djokovic claims his lists of demands to Australian Open organisers were misconstrued. The world number one asked Tennis Australia chief Craig Tiley to reduce the time players must quarantine in a Melbourne hotel. He wanted them moved to private residences with better food available to them and also tennis courts on tap. 10 individuals associated with the tournament, 4 players have tested positive for COVID-19, and local authorities have already said that there'll be no special treatment for players. But Djokovic says he was only acting for all players' benefit.
I am going to break the habit of a lifetime and jump in for Djokovic in this instance. He, in fairness, he's in Adelaide. He's got like a 5-hour practice window. He's got a balcony. He's happy out. He's one of the haves as opposed to the have-nots. So in fairness to him, he was sticking up for his fellow tennis players saying, is there any way we can, you know, move people to private housing where there might be tennis courts available type thing? Like, it wasn't a list of demands. Even Craig Tiley came out and said they weren't demands. They were just like suggestions. I think that's fair enough, Nathan. No, that he's, you know, he said himself, well, maybe I'll stay in my nice little place and say nothing. But he was trying to do a solid for his fellow tennis players. Can we cut the man slack ever?
Yeah, I think you're right. He was trying to do a solid for his fellow tennis players and being ahead of a players' union. But he has lost the public because of that. He has lost the Australian public completely, who have no sympathy, considering, like anybody, what they have gone through with prima donnas. And there is no sympathy for... If Roger Federer had come out and said this, there would have been a different reaction.
That's true.
There would have been a little bit of empathy and, okay, this guy provides us with entertainment. We know the commercial worth of this tournament to Australia. Maybe he has a point. We could make an exception. But Novak Djokovic, there's never going to be any sort of sympathy.
No.
What I want to see, Joe, tomorrow, since we're doing these Instagram polls, is which off-the-ball presenter is most likely to go on a Novak Djokovic-style rant?
Richie McCormack.
Yeah, I'd vote for me.
Well, there's any number. I mean, like, we're all absolute windbags. So,
Young Ender, by the way, is, like, he's got a whole YouTube channel dedicated to him whinging. So, you know, I put him ahead of the queue, ahead of me.
Owen is upping the ante here, saying, if there's a vote for most likely to assassinate a president, Jerry Gilroy would definitely win with that mustache, which I think is slanderous, probably.
Wow. Possibly not wrong, though.
Barry O'Mahony on YouTube, Barry, how you doing, just wants to know one thing. Is Adam Pope on tonight? He is. I didn't even mention Adam Pope. How did you know that? That's odd. Yes, Adam Pope is on. He is he's brilliant. He's BBC Leeds. He's going to tell us about Leeds over the last month or so. They've had kind of an interesting time, a lot of ups and downs. There was the tweet, of course, all that stuff. So Adam Pope,
which is still up, by the way.
Oh yeah, I know, they weren't backing down.
That's insane. Wow. Absolutely insane.
Yeah. I think once they dug in.
Villa all over Man City here, lads.
Are they? Yeah.
Kevin De Bruyne has gone off.
Okay. 67 minutes on the clock, nil all. Interesting indeed. Fellas, lovely stuff. Richie McCormick, thank you. And Nathan Murphy on commentary tomorrow evening. But far more importantly, I think we can agree, Golf Weekly around lunchtime. I'll see you then.
If you want 2 hours of analysis of Rory McIlroy's press conference, you know where to go.
That's actually not what we're doing tomorrow, by the way. But...
Isn't it? Isn't it?
No. We'll take a short break. We have Christopher Clary from the New York Times. He'll give us the lowdown on the Australian Open situation.
Golf sensation Tiger Woods says his car crash outside his Florida mansion is a private matter, and he intends to keep it that way.
Every one of you has good reason to be critical of me. I want to say to each of you, simply and directly, I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Oh, yep. He's hurt. There is something wrong right now. Something is wrong with Tiger Woods. Grimacing after his tee shot at 9, barely able to pick up his tee.
My second shot, I fell back into the bunker, just jarred it, and it's been spasming ever since.
Same spot, same location as before.
It's just a whole lower back.
And listen, the Achilles, the knee, yeah. Fine.
Sure.
But golf, and you got a back problem?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, everything's about twisting and turning. He is finished.
At the 2017 Masters Champions dinner, Tiger told a couple of the guys at the dinner that he was done. So if Tiger thought he was done in 2017, the rest of us all had the right to think he was done.
I'm incredibly impressed with his comeback. In his current form, he's a great player. Again, he has a game that is good enough to win majors, will win majors. And I really don't think it's won. I think he will win a few majors as long as he stays healthy, yeah.
More please, Tiger Woods, Mount Rivers.
Tiger Woods now one back. He knows all about this green, and this is going to get better and better and better. He hasn't forgotten how to do it.
Vintage Tiger Woods has showed up this afternoon on the back nine at Augusta. How about this?
Very good. Tiger on the charge. That was a noise and a half.
Many doubted we'd ever see it. Here it is. The return to glory.
22 years on from the first green jacket comes the fifth.
Your son Charlie, for a New Year's resolution project for his fourth grade class, had to write one thing that he hoped for in 2019, and that was he wanted to see his father win a golf tournament.
Correct. He got witnessed on a golf tournament, witnessed me winning a major championship, so. I don't think things get any more special for me because when I first won here, it was my dad at the back of the green, and now it's my two kids.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.